we present Peter Bowles, Philip Latham, and Judy Lowe in The Gioconda Smile by Aldous Huxley. Adapted for radio by Cynthia Pugh.
A little more claret, Janet?
Just a drop.
Ah, here's Nurse. Well, did she eat her chicken?
Just a few mouthfuls, that's all. It's one of our bad days, I'm afraid. And that noise these workmen are making in the house doesn't help your wife.
My dear Nurse Braddock, dry rot in houses, as in people, must be eradicated at the source. Oh, incidentally, Janet, the workmen are threatening to invade this part of the house next month, so I shall probably have to entertain in the shrubbery. I must come over to your house one evening and have a game of chess with your father.
He'd love it. Oh, that reminds me. We're in the most awful fix. Father's nurse has just told us she wants to leave to get married.
Oh,
I thought she had more sense than that.
You don't happen to know of anyone who could take her place, do you?
Oh, not for a paralysis case. We don't much care for paralysis cases as a rule. But I tell you what I'll do, Miss Spence. I'm going out this afternoon. I'll drop in and talk to the sister in charge.
Oh, that's really very kind of you.
Not at all. It's a real pleasure. Oh, by the way, Mr. Hutton, I hope you don't mind if I'm not back till late. Mrs. Hutton said she didn't have any objection.
So why ask me? Janet, I must show you my new picture after lunch.
Another one? Henry, aren't you ashamed of yourself?
I simply couldn't resist it. An early Modigliani. One of those extraordinary nudes.
I'd love to see it.
Well, you must help me to decide where to hang it. You too, Nurse.
Don't hang it anywhere. That's my advice.
And don't you like it, Nurse?
Like it? Makes me absolutely sick.
From which, my dear Janet, you can infer that it must be pretty good. Only the very best modern paintings make Nurse sick. The second-rate things don't cause anything worse than a touch of heartburn.
Mrs. Hutton didn't like it either. In fact,
she thought it was positively disgusting. I knew that without your telling me.
Well, if you'll excuse me, Miss Spence, I'll just go and take some dessert up to the poor invalid.
You're not going to give her those red currants, are you?
Why not?
Remember what Dr. Libbard said. Nothing with skins or pips.
I believe in letting her have what she fancies. It does her more good than fussing around with diets and things.
All right, have it your own way, but don't blame me if it upsets her. If only somebody would marry this one instead of yours. Well, that, I fear, is a lost cause.
Why are you so cynical, Henry?
Oh, because I enjoy the pleasures of an easy conscience. Cynicism is simply confession without repentance. You admit your sins, and so you get rid of the unpleasant necessity of concealment and hypocrisy. But having confessed, you neither repent nor reform. You advertise your shortcomings, and you persist in them.
What nonsense you talk! Everybody knows how patient and kind you've always been.
In other words, what a very adequate income I've always had.
Darling Emily, you know how devoted I am to her. But even I have to admit, well, she doesn't make life too easy for the people around her. Or for herself, if it comes to that.
She's her own worst enemy, of course, but then who isn't?
I often wonder what I'd do. If I were ill and lonely, felt that nobody really cared for me, I think I'd commit suicide.
One doesn't commit suicide because one has a reason for killing oneself. One does it because... Well, I've known lots of people whose life was obviously not worth living, and yet the idea of putting an end to it never even entered their heads.
But if you knew that because of your life, other people's lives weren't worth living, wouldn't that make a difference?
Not a bit of it. I would probably make you hold on even tighter, just to annoy your friends.
Well, I hope that if ever I felt I was in the way, I'd have the courage to get rid of myself.
It isn't a question of courage. It's just a matter of physiological reaction.
If I couldn't do it myself, I'd ask someone else to do it for me.
Ah, here's the coffee. And now over here, please, Clara.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Clara. Oh. It's black for you, isn't it?
Mm. Oh, let me do that, Henry. I'm very impatient to see your new picture.
Oh, you are enthusiastic. All right. Well, you deal with the coffee. And I'll fetch it. It's in the study.
Emily takes sugar, doesn't she?
Yes. I'll give her a lot. She likes something to take away the taste of her medicine.
I've put an extra lump in her saucer.
Here it is.
Oh, it's exquisite.
I thought you'd like it.
Quite exquisite.
Oh, is that my cup?
No, that's Emily's. It's too sweet for you. Here's yours. Well, how's your patient, nurse?
Oh, as well as you can expect, all things considered. I'll take up the coffee at once, if you don't mind, sir. I want to catch the 2:45 bus.
Yeah, don't you bother, nurse. I'll take it.
But there's her medicine, too.
Oh, I'll give it to her. You drink your coffee. You've just got time.
Well, that's very kind of you, I'm sure.
And don't make yourself sick by looking at that picture.
Poor Mrs. Hutton.
What did you say?
Oh, I feel so terribly sorry for her.
Yes, with her heart in that condition, I suppose she might go at any moment.
Oh, it isn't her health I was thinking about. It's, well, you know. Miss Spence, I could tell you things if it make your hair stand on end.
Oh, what sort of things?
The sort of things you find out if you've been nursing for 23 years. When I think of that poor angel upstairs.
When I first knew her, she was a beauty. Mm. Had her pictures in the papers, all that sort of thing. Then came her illness. Suddenly, there was nothing left to her. No parties, no theatres, no admirers, nobody to court her and flatter her. Nobody even to listen to her.
Isn't that typical of men? Sex. That's all they care about. Nothing but sex.
Oh, he wouldn't do that. He's too loyal.
When a man's rich, he can get all the women he wants. No scandal, no divorce, money, that's all.
Does Mrs. Hutton suspect? Does she think there's another woman?
Oh, he's clever enough to keep things dark. But I tell you, we wouldn't be surprised at anything.
Mrs. Hutton and you seem to have talked things over a great deal.
Oh, now, my dear, you mustn't feel jealous. There's nobody she cares for more than you. She's told me that again. But after all, you're not a registered nurse. You're not even married. She'd feel embarrassed talking to you. Though I say she shouldn't. She likes me. She feels I'm a friend.
Yes, yes, I'm sure.
I'll tell you something. You remember that brooch of hers? That diamond dragonfly?
Yes.
Well, she's going to leave that to me in her will.
Oh, I'm so glad. That means she cares for you. And poor Emily has so few people to care for.
And so few who care for her, Miss Spence. Oh, well, I must fly if I'm going to catch my bus. I'll just go out through the garden. Oh, good gracious me. What's this tin doing on the veranda?
Tin?
Weed killer. Poison. Contains arsenic. Imagine leaving this stuff where the dogs can get at it. I'll take it down to the shed. Goodbye, Miss Spence.
Goodbye, nurse.
Well, Janet, do you really like my picture?
It's perfectly lovely.
And to think he might still be alive and painting these things. I have no patience with these people who die young. All these Keatses and Shelleys and Schuberts. It's just idiotic. Now, you make a note of it, Janet. I'm invited to lunch on my 80th birthday.
You're sure you won't be a bit bored with me by then?
How do you mean? Look at this figure. Perfectly flat. And yet all the modelling's there. It's the line. If the line's good enough, it implies the volume. You know there's a third dimension. Well, some people are like that. They're flat. They don't say anything in particular. And yet you're aware of depths and volumes and psychological spaces. Well, you're one of those people.
I don't know whether to be flattered or offended.
Both and neither. It's a wonderful thing to have a rich personality. But if you have a rich personality, you cannot fail to include a good number of quirks. And oddities, not to mention other things. The shameful things. The reptiles in the basement. The black beetles behind the wainscot.
Oh. And that's me, is it?
That's you, my mysterious Gioconda.
This reminds me of the first time I ever saw a post-impressionist painting.
Oh, when was that?
When was that?
Hmm.
That just shows how little we can communicate with one another.
Oh?
Something happens to you, something enormously important and significant. And yet, for the person who is with you when it happened, the person who was the cause of its happening, it doesn't mean anything at all. Do you remember a young woman who came back from India?
A very charming and beautiful young woman.
That's neither here nor there. The point is that you showed her your pictures. You took the trouble to explain to her what they were all about.
Ah, I begin to remember.
But she never forgot. That's the difference. Do you know what you did for me, Henry? You opened a door, and there were all the things I'd only heard about. Painting, criticism, music. It was like a revelation, like a conversion. And you didn't feel anything of what I felt.
How could I? After all, I haven't spent some of the best years of my life in an Indian garrison town.
And to think that but for you and the grace of God, I might be there now. A colonel's lady, that's what I'd be by this time.
And who knows, perhaps you'd be very happy, my dear. Perhaps you made a great mistake when you turned down your nice young captain.
Henry, how can you say that?
After all, a man can have very bad taste in art and yet be a very good husband. And vice versa, I might add.
But the one doesn't necessarily exclude the other.
No. I've known people who could make the best of both worlds. Such as a certain person who likes Modigliani.
You know, how strange that Emily never learned to care for painting.
Oh, but she does. She cares a great deal. But her taste isn't very Catholic. She likes portraits, and only portraits of herself, and then only if they're flattering, and by very expensive painters.
Excuse me, sir.
Yes, what is it, Clara?
Mrs. Hutton says, would you please come upstairs a minute?
Well, tell her I'll come later on.
She wants you to come now, sir.
Oh. Oh, very well. Sorry, Janet. I won't be long.
Clara, is Mrs. Hutton feeling worse?
Not that I know of, miss. And anyhow, worse or better, it doesn't make much difference. It must be hard work for you with an invalid in the house.
Oh, well, you get used to it, miss. You get used to anything.
Until the moment comes when you say, that's enough.
A lot of good that does you. Because when you come down to it, one thing's just as bad as another. You can change your job as much as you like. There's always something wrong. So stay where you are. That's my advice.
I wonder how long he'll be.
Oh, dear.
Who's that out there?
What are you doing here?
Sorry. Are you looking for somebody?
Yes, Mr. Hutton.
Oh. Was he expecting you?
Well, no, not exactly, but I mean, he knows who I am.
Why didn't you ring at the front door?
I came through the garden. It was shorter.
Well, it was her, of course, just fast for fuss sake. Oh. Miss Mead. What a pleasant surprise. I don't think you know Miss Spence.
No, how do you
know? Miss Mead is collecting subscriptions for the Crippled Children's Home.
Ah.
I've got a cheque ready for you, Miss Mead.
Oh, thank you.
The only thing is I'd like to earmark the money for spastics. I couldn't make out what form I had to fill up.
I'll say goodbye, Henry.
Oh, no, I won't be a moment.
Well, I've got to go. Thank you, Emily, for me. And tell her how sorry I am I couldn't see her.
Yes, I will.
Don't bother to see me out. Goodbye, Miss Mead. Goodbye.
I'll ring up tomorrow and see what we can settle about that game of chess with your father.
Yes, do that. Goodbye, Henry.
You little idiot, Doris.
Oh, darling.
No, none of that. I'm very angry with you. You know quite well you've got no business to come here.
Oh, I know that, darling, but I was passing the gate. I just couldn't resist it.
And you see what happened. It's lucky I had those papers lying there.
You were wonderful, teddy bear. Children.
There's nothing to giggle about. If you got the spanking you deserve, you'd be in a convalescent home. Now go and sit down before anything worse happens to you.
Oh, goodness. What's that picture?
Rather nice, isn't it?
Well, teddy bear. I mean, girls aren't like that. I mean, you wouldn't like it if they did.
Oh,
that.
Oh no, I certainly wouldn't. But fortunately, you're not a piece of canvas. Oh, I could eat you.
Oh, darling. Do you love me?
Like a cannibal.
Oh, I know you don't really love me, but I don't care. I can love enough for two.
What about having dinner with me tonight?
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Good. But now you've got to promise me something. Never come to this house again.
Oh,
It's pointless, it's idiotic, and it's dangerous. So you mustn't.
All right, I promise. Tell me, is she in the house?
Who do you mean?
Oh, you know quite well who I mean. Is she still so ill?
Let's talk about something else.
Oh, I know. I'm not fit to mention her.
Don't talk nonsense. It's simply a question of tact, of good taste.
In other words, you're ashamed. You don't want to be reminded of what you're doing. You just want to do it and not think about it.
Exactly.
Oh, that means you really don't care for me. I'm not ashamed. I wouldn't mind telling everybody because I love you. Because I feel this is the best thing I've ever done. You certainly don't feel that.
No, one doesn't feel too proud of, being a seducer.
Oh, I like that. Do you remember the first time you kissed me?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'd made up my mind beforehand that I was going to make you kiss me. And I did make you.
Ooh, well, I'm damned.
The one who was here just now, was that Janet? Spence?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't imagine she was like that. Not from the way you've talked about her. She's as old as the hills.
Well, I know from your point of view she's practically got one foot in the grave. To me, she looks like a very attractive girl of 35. She used to be really lovely 10 years ago.
And I suppose you flirted with her.
Naturally.
Do you still flirt with her?
Only in the most spiritual way. We do a sort of Dante and Beatrice act. You know? Soulmates.
Oh, Teddy Bear.
What's the matter
with
you?
Oh, sometimes I really hate you.
Don't be silly. Can't you understand a joke?
It isn't a joke. You do care for her.
I don't care for her. I just care for the things that she cares about. She's the only person in this godforsaken neighborhood who isn't a barbarian or a Philistine. What about a little drive this afternoon?
Oh, yes. That would be lovely.
All right. I'll go and get my things and tell them I shan't be in this evening.
What will you say you're doing?
I'll tell them I'm dining with old Mr. Johnson to discuss the war memorial. At the present rate of progress, it'll be ready just in time for the next little massacre to end all massacres. Or even the next but one. That is, if there's anything left of us by then. Meanwhile, my pet... The grave's a fine and private place, but none, I think, to their embrace. From which I can draw only one conclusion.
What's that?
Don't waste time talking. Run along out and wait in the car.
Oh.
I shan't be long.
All right, Teddy Bear.
Why, Dr. Livard. What are you doing here? Is my wife ill?
Hutton, I've been waiting for you for 4 hours. The servants tried to reach you at Mr. Johnson's, but they had no news of you there.
No, I was detained. I had a breakdown.
Hutton, your wife had a heart attack about 4 hours ago.
Dead?
Yes, I'm sorry. Unfortunately, I was out when they called me. I didn't get here until it was all over. It was the nurse's day out, too. And the only person who was with her, except for the maids, was Janet.
Oh, they sent for Janet, did they?
Yes, I think her presence must have been a great comfort to poor Emily. It's a great help to be able to hold somebody's hand, to feel you're not completely abandoned.
Strange. She hadn't been complaining of her heart these last days?
No, it came on suddenly. There was a violent attack of nausea in the afternoon. That was the thing that knocked out the heart. I understand from the maid that she'd eaten some red currants at lunch.
Do you mean to say that could have killed her?
Indirectly, yes. See, when a heart's in the condition that hers was in, you can't risk the smallest indiscretion.
Oh, excuse me. I saw a light on in here and I wondered... Oh, Dr. Livard, is anything wrong?
Nothing, except that you've managed to kill your patient.
What do you mean?
Mrs. Hutton died of heart failure while you were out.
And it was because you let her have those currants, do you remember?
Is this true, nurse?
But she likes them so.
You know how strongly I've always insisted on a bland diet.
I didn't think that a few cups...
That's would... enough, nurse. You went against my instructions. You were absolutely in the wrong.
I warned you at the time, but you insisted on taking them to her. You wanted to have your own way, didn't you? Admit it! Admit it!
Henry.
Please, Hutton, this is a professional matter.
She looks so calm now. So beautiful. You feel she's come home at last. Come home and gone to sleep.
I think I'll go up to her room.
I know it must have come as a terrible shock to you, nurse. You were so devoted to her.
Dr. Libard says it was my fault.
Her fault, Doctor?
Well, I gave certain instructions, nurse. Braddock chose to ignore them. Now, whether this was actually responsible for what happened tonight, I really can't say. But currants are the last thing that I would have allowed Mrs. Hutton to eat.
You think it was the currants?
Well, she certainly didn't eat anything else that could have caused this. You'd better go to bed, nurse. You can't do anything for anyone.
I think I know why she did it.
Well, suppose she cared too much for her patient. Thought she was doing the poor woman a favour.
Yes, yes, she really loved Emily, but that's only part of the explanation. She wanted to spite Henry.
Why?
She didn't like him, that's all.
Oh, just because he belongs to the male sex. Well, some of them get like that.
Henry was always very keen on Emily sticking to her diet. And that was enough to make Nurse Braddock ridicule the whole thing.
With the result that she kills the person she's most attached to. Oh, dear.
She must be feeling the shock more than any of us. I'd like to help her, if it's possible. You know my father's nurse is leaving us.
My poor Janet.
I thought I'd ask Nurse Braddock to come and take her place. That is, if you feel she'd be all right. She likes me quite well.
All right. I won't say anything on condition that she goes to you.
Should I go and talk to her, do you think?
Do. As the poor woman was obviously in an awful state. I'll wait here for her.
Very well. Oh, here he is. I'm going up to see Nurse Henry.
Yes, very well, Jenna.
Well, there's nothing to say, of course. Just a lot of platitudes that don't signify anything.
Will you have a drink, Libard?
No, thanks. You know, one talks in one universe, one dies, and one suffers in another. I found that out when Margaret died.
You two were very close, weren't you?
We've been married nearly 30 years.
30 years. And yet it isn't the time that counts. It's what you feel. And what you are. Do you remember Emily? As she was in this photograph?
Of course. And Margaret used to say that she was like the princess in the fairy story. An inscription. Well, that seems familiar. To my darling, wilt thou sail with me? Was it Shelley?
Yes. Yes, he wrote it to an Emily, too. Emily, a ship is floating in the harbour now. A wind is blowing o'er the mountain's brow. The merry mariners are bold and free. Say, my heart's sister, wilt thou sail with me? And we did sail. We even landed on Shelley's Enchanted Island. Our breath shall intermit. Our bosoms bound and our veins beat together, and our lips with other eloquence than words eclipse the soul that burns between them. We used to read it together. Shall I tell you where I was this evening?
No, I don't think you need. It seems sufficiently obvious.
I suppose you think I'm pretty contemptible, don't you?
Oh, I don't think I have any right to pass that kind of judgment.
Well, I do, because that's what I am, and that's what I've always been. Contemptible.
I've never thought so. But I've felt extremely sorry for you sometimes.
No goodness, no order, no sense or meaning. The moral equivalent of a slum. That's what my life has been, and in an obscure kind of way, I've
always known it, but I wouldn't face the fact.
You've had nothing to make you face the fact.
Yeah, perhaps not. But I was capable of being... I won't say a better man, because that's claiming too much. But I was capable of achieving something.
Being born with a lot of money as you were. It's no joke. Heaven knows it's dreary enough to earn one's own living. But at least it gives a certain purpose and direction to one's existence.
Do you think I'm capable of changing?
Well, of course. If you want to.
Excuse me a moment.
Oh, where are you going?
I've got to write a note.
Well, the moon's almost full, I see. And what I hated most when I worked in London was never seeing the sky. Only a lot of smoke. Whiskey advertisements. That's what makes modern man so idiotically bumptious.
What?
He lives in a horrible little homemade universe and thinks he's conquered the God-made one. He's industrialized himself to the point where he's in danger of exhausting all his natural resources. Well, how is it going? I've got a heavy day in front of me tomorrow.
Would you drop this note in the letterbox as you go by?
Well, I try not to forget.
No, don't. It's important.
Miss Doris Mead? Well, I can't believe that anyone called Doris is as important as all her.
Very important to say goodbye to.
Oh, I see. Then I certainly shall forget. Well, Janet, what news?
She's very grateful to you, Dr. Libard.
Do you have a new nurse, I hope?
Well, as soon as Henry will let her go.
The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned.
Goodbye, Janet.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Libard, and thank you for all you've done for me.
Goodbye. I'll look at it again tomorrow.
Oh, I'm so thankful that you were with poor Emily at the end. Did she suffer very much? Janet. Don't let's talk about it anymore. It's been too much for
you. It was terrible. It was so terrible. I've never seen that body die before. I didn't realize it.
Just try to think of her only as she is now. And she's at peace. The agony is over. You must think of that.
I just can't keep the memory away. It's like an obsession. I suddenly see her struggling for breath with that awful look of pain and fear on her face.
Yes, but you must remember all those years of suffering and unhappiness. And now she's free.
Yes. Free. That is what we must remember.
Hello? Oh, my London number. Yes, thank you, operator. Hello, Piccadilly Palace. Have you got a double room for tonight? Yes, with a bath. The name is Hutton. Mr. and Mrs. Henry Hutton. I don't expect to be in before 10:30. Thank you. Who's there? Well, Janet! Come here. What a pleasant surprise.
I'm the one to be surprised. I thought you were in Cornwall.
Well, so did I until this morning. I had to go to town unexpectedly, so I thought I'd take the opportunity to creep in like a burglar on the way.
Oh, without telling us.
My dear, it was all decided in such a hurry. Besides, I'm just driving through post-haste. How on earth did you know I was here?
We decided to walk down to the village after dinner, and then suddenly I noticed a light in the house, so I let Father and Nurse Braddock go on and climbed over the fence.
Oh, more burglary. Well, I'm delighted. Sit down, won't you?
Oh, may I? I won't stay long. Only till the others get back from the village.
Well, I hope they won't get caught in the rain. Looked pretty menacing just now. I'm glad you came, Janet. It'll save me writing a letter and going to the post office. Mm-hmm.
This is for you.
What is it?
Well, open it and see.
But, Henry, it's Emily's bracelet.
And Emily would want you to wear it.
Me?
Well, I don't know anyone who has as much right to it as you do. Her best friend, the person who did more for her than any other. Come on, let me put it on for you. There.
No. Henry, I couldn't. I don't deserve it.
But Janet, she loved you. She'd want you to have something that would always remind you of her. And you were very fond of her, weren't you?
No, Henry, I can't. Take it off, please.
Janet, I shall be offended if you won't take it.
Do you want me to have it?
Of course I want you to have it.
Oh. Well, I just felt it was too much.
Too much? It's not nearly enough.
It's really very beautiful.
Look, do you mind if I finish packing up these papers while we talk?
Of course not.
Did you hear that? Oh, look, it's as black as pitch out there.
How much longer are you going to be away, Henry?
I really can't say.
Well, I suppose you'll be back in 2 or 3 weeks?
Yes, thereabouts.
Perhaps a little longer. Various things have turned up recently. I may have to be in town for a bit.
Oh.
What about your father and the nurse? They're going to get awfully wet, aren't they?
Oh, they'll take shelter somewhere. I love thunderstorms, don't you?
Frankly, I don't. I once saw a man killed by lightning, just a few feet away from me. It wasn't funny.
Ah, William Tell. Look at the trees. Writhing, struggling. As if they were trying to get free. But they can't. They're tied down. The wind blows through them. All it can do is to torture them. Tear them to pieces. Destroy them. Ah, here's the rain. What a release.
Release?
It's like somebody who's had to keep everything locked up inside herself, and then suddenly she can let go. You must know what that's like, Henry.
Know what what's like?
Having to hide the thing that's most important to you. Being forced to live a lie against your will, against all your feelings. You can't be happy if you're living alive.
Can't you? I don't know.
Oh, but how could you be under those conditions? And after all, everyone's got a right to happiness.
A right? Why should it be a right? I don't claim anything by right. I just take what happens to come my way and thank my lucky stars.
Oh, poor Henry. You haven't had much happiness in your life, have you?
Quite right. I'm far from happy at this moment.
No, you can make a joke of it. But I know what you've been through, Henry. The isolation, the spiritual loneliness. I've known what that can be. There's nobody to understand or sympathize. Nobody you can talk to about your most precious thoughts and feelings.
Oh, yes, your poor father. It must have been pretty difficult sometimes.
Yes. So you see, I realize what you've had to go through. Darling, Emily, so sweet and kind and with that touching, childlike quality, but she was no companion for a man like you. She could never share in your tastes and interests. She would have...
Right overhead.
Oh, it's wonderful. It's like passion.
Oh, Janet, you've been reading too many novels. Passion, passion.
But you know what I mean. Loving so much or hating so much that at last it breaks out in spite of yourself. Like lightning, like a thunderbolt, like the wind and the rain.
And woe to the man who hasn't got an umbrella.
Henry, we're free now. We needn't pretend any longer.
Pretend what?
I tried to hide it. But you must always have known, Henry, just as I always knew about you.
About me?
Yes, of course, I knew what you felt. And I knew you'd never admit it, out of a sense of honor and duty. And now there's no more need for acting. It's been so long, Henry, and I cared so much.
Janet, listen to me.
It's impossible.
But Henry, you've forgotten. We can do what we want now. There's nothing to prevent it anymore.
Listen, Janet, I think I ought to tell you. While I was away in Cornwall...
What happened while you were in Cornwall?
Well, to cut a long story short, I got married.
You got married?
Well, someone you don't know. As a matter of fact, I've only known her for a few months. I'm sure you'll like her when you meet her. Of course, she's rather young. Only about 22, as a matter of fact. Quite a baby.
22?
So you see, she has plenty of time to learn. She'll adapt herself soon enough. Young people seem to be so sensible nowadays, so much on the spot. Very different from what we were at their age. What are you laughing at?
Oh, nothing in particular.
We're still friends, aren't we?
Of course we are. Better than ever. And how we shall chuckle over this when we come to look back on it. The little joke you played on me and the little joke I played on you.
The joke?
Why, of course. You didn't think I was serious, did you?
No, naturally I didn't.
And when shall I have the pleasure of meeting your sweet little... Oh, what's her name, by the way?
Doris.
Your sweet little Doris. Oh, when are you going to inaugurate her? What's that?
Janet, are you there?
His father. Father? Oh, father, are you so...
Wheel him in, nurse. Good evening, General.
Good evening, Captain.
Well, this is like campaigning in the monsoon.
You're right, sir. Sorry to load ourselves on you. Libard came by while we were sheltering and insisted on our coming here. Pushed me half the way in this...
So why didn't he come in?
Went back for his car. Oh, here he is. Do please excuse this intrusion, Captain.
No, don't mention it. As a matter of fact, we were just coming out to look for the General.
Not a fuss. Don't call that a storm, do you?
All the same, you got rather wet, General. I suggest you get yourself rubbed down with a dry towel. Would you mind, Hutton?
No, of course not. Nurse, you know where the towels are kept. Take whatever you need.
Yes, thank you, I will.
Where the devil are you taking me?
Now, General. No swearing.
Have a drink, Lamar.
Thank you.
Guess what Henry has brought back from Cornwall, Dr. Libard?
Well, what does one bring back from Cornwall? Oh, I seem to remember paperweights made of malachite. No, serpentine. Isn't that the stuff?
It isn't a paperweight. It's alive.
Alive? Well, one used to be able to get the most wonderful parrots at Falmouth, brought back by the sailors. What a vocabulary. Is it one of those?
It's a mammal.
Janet.
Well, isn't it?
A mammal? Well, let's say a dog. A pony. Or badger, I give up. A Siamese cat.
A wife. I'd better go and see to father.
Well, I suppose I ought to congratulate you, Hutton.
Thank you.
And yet I posted that letter you gave me. Most faithfully. Wasn't quite as irrevocable as you thought?
No. No, it wasn't. Do you remember in the Gospels all those people possessed by devils? Nobody believes in that sort of thing nowadays. And yet, isn't it the most plausible explanation of some of the things that we do?
Well, that's one way of disclaiming responsibility. But there's also such a thing as free will.
Yes, there's such a thing as free will. And you can use your will to get rid of your will. And you can use your will to invite the devils to take possession.
Oh, the devils make you do things that are idiotic and suicidal, in spite of which you go on.
In spite of which, and also because of which. After all, idiocy is a way of getting out of oneself. So suicide, not that I'd care to blow my brains out. But social suicide. There's something very fascinating about the idea of being ostracized. Being cut off from the group you've always belonged to.
And that's why you're married.
To be ostracized. Yes, there were also other reasons, too.
A child?
That's one of the reasons.
That's the best news you've ever given me. Well, We make a human being of you even here.
Everything, doubtless, is for the best and the best of all possible worlds. Oh, excuse me.
Hello? Oh, it's you.
Thank you, nurse. Come in. Father's in need of a drink. Do you mind if I get him one?
Oh, no. No, help yourself, Janet. You'll find the glasses in the cupboard. No, no. You stay where you are, and I'll come and fetch you in the car. Well, that was my wife. She went to see some friends, and now the roads are like rivers. Can I take you along, Levon?
No, thanks. No, I got the car outside.
Take this to Father, will you, nurse?
Yes, thank you, Miss Spence.
I'll be back in a few minutes, Janet. Then I'll run you over to your house.
Oh, thank you, Henry. And meanwhile, I'll have a chance of meeting your sweet little Dora.
Doris?
Of course.
Come along.
I must be off, too. I'll be looking in to see your father one day and for early next week.
All right.
Good night.
Good night. Oh, nurse. How is Father?
He's tired. He's going to have a nap.
Yeah, I'm glad. It's good for him to sleep.
It's not my place to say anything, but if you ask me, I think it's disgusting. Getting married 6 weeks after that poor angel breathed her last. 6 weeks. Shameful, that's what it is.
He told me he'd known her several months. That means that even while Emily was still alive...
How do we know he didn't have to marry her?
You mean she was...
I'd be ready to bet on it. He gets her in trouble, and then he has to get her out again.
And if Emily hadn't died just when she did... But luckily for them, she did die. Just at the right moment.
Just at the right moment. Spence, you don't suppose...
Suppose what?
Why wouldn't he let me take the medicine up to her? He'd never done that before.
But you're not suggesting that... Well, that he put something into it. Oh, no, that's too absurd.
That tin of weed killer.
What tin?
Don't you remember? Standing there in the veranda. It was printed on the label. Poison contains arsenic. Oh,
what are you talking about?
Arsenic, arsenic. It brings on vomiting, something dreadful. I've seen it. Oh, so that's why he made all that fuss about the red currants. Just to give himself an alibi.
You're mad. It's absolutely ridiculous.
You thought it was ridiculous when I told you that he was carrying on with the girl. Well, who was right, you or me? And another thing. Why did it happen on the day when I was out?
What difference did that make?
What? If I'd been there, he could never have got away with it. I'd have recognized the symptoms immediately. So what does he do? He chooses the day when he knows that I won't be back till late, until it's all over, in fact. And when he gets home, he turns on me and says that I killed him with those red currants. Currants, indeed.
But after all, Dr. Libard thought it was the currants.
Yes. Why? Because the other one keeps harping on it, and so I have to take the blame. But I'm not going to put up with it any longer. And it's not merely a question of my own interests. It's a matter of principle. I want to see justice done. I want to have the whole world know the truth.
You talk as though you knew it yourself.
Well, I do. I'm as certain about it now as I would be if they'd already had the autopsy.
And suppose they did find something in the body?
They'll ask who put it there. And when they ask that... They will find that there's only one possible answer.
Only one answer?
Come along in, Doc.
Yes, and here it is, in person.
Oh, dear.
If we have much more of this rain, I shall start building an ark. Janet, my dear, this is Doris. As a matter of fact, you've seen her before, do you remember?
The crippled children. That was a good joke, wasn't it?
This is Nurse Braddock, General Spencer's nurse.
How do you do? How do you do, Mrs. Hutton? I used to look after Mr. Hutton's wife before she died.
That's scarcely the expression I should have chosen. I'll go and get our cases down.
Do you mind if I call you Doris? You know, it seems ridiculous for me to be calling you Mrs. Hutton.
I'd love it.
And you must call me Janet.
Yes, Miss Spence. I mean, Janet.
Isn't she adorable? Oh, my dear. What a lovely brooch. Don't I recognize it?
Yes, it belonged to Mrs. Hutton.
I mean, you know.
Of course, Emily's diamond dragonfly. Have you seen, Nurse?
I noticed it already.
I remember how much you admired it. Nurse Braddock used to be a great friend of poor Emily's before she came to help me with my father. She was really more of a friend than a nurse.
It isn't friendship that gets you diamond brooches.
But it gets you diamond bracelets, all right. Look, Doris, see what your husband has just given me.
He gave you that?
This afternoon. Oh. Wasn't that sweet of him? Aren't you a little jealous?
Oh, I knew, of course not.
Of course not. You're a real flatterer, aren't you? Tell me, Doris, are you very, very happy?
Oh, yes. I think so.
You only think so?
Oh, no, I don't mean that.
Nurse, where are you?
Excuse me, Miss Spence. I'm coming, General.
I'm sorry. Well, let's talk about something else, if it upsets you.
Oh, but I am happy. Really and truly. It's just, you know, I'm not very clever. And Henry seems to know everything. I'd like to have some lessons or something, you know, about art and things.
You sweet child.
And then I'd know the difference between things. I mean, some pictures look funny, but they aren't meant to be funny, and you have to know which is which, don't you?
Well, yes, it's advisable. Oh, here's my father.
You heard this, Janet. About us and getting married again.
Yes, Father, I knew.
More sensible fellow than I thought.
And here is Mrs. Hutton. Isn't she enchanting? Doris, dear, my father, General Spence.
How do you do, General?
Take that ridiculous hat off.
Oh, yes, certainly, General.
Oh. That's better. She's the image of your mother when we were engaged. Same hair, same eyes. But I say the nose was a tiny bit more retroussé. Turn your head. Yes, definitely. Do you remember, Janet, that photograph of her in the riding habit? That's the thing she was wearing when I saw her first. Dark green. And she was riding a grey gelding. Don't you ever ride in anything but a habit, my dear. No breeches. Women aren't the right shape for breeches. Whereas in a riding habit, well, man could still have illusions. What's life without illusions? Nasty, brutish, and short. And women's legs are shorter than life.
Is that so, General?
Now, Hutton, do you hear that? No breeches. If my wife had worn breeches, I'd never have married her.
And Janet would have remained a twinkle in your eye.
It's about time she became a twinkle in somebody else's eye. Don't you agree, Hutton?
Now, don't get so excited.
I will get excited if I choose. It's about time she thought of herself for a change. Time she stopped this damned self-sacrifice. Tell her to let me go to the blazes and find herself a husband.
Have you anyone in mind, Father? Or you, Henry? Have you any suggestions?
It's up to you, my girl. When a girl sets a cap at a man, she usually gets what she wants in the long run. We don't want you to end your days as one of those damn spinsters. This little filly knew what she was about. You're a wise and lucky young woman.
Yes, I am lucky.
Are you?
What exactly do you mean by that, Nurse Braddock?
I'm going to get in touch with the authorities. I have something to say of interest to the coroner.
Yes, Clara? Nurse Braddock would like to speak to you, madam. Ask her to come in.
What can she want?
I can't think. Good afternoon, Nurse.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hutton. I hope you won't mind my bursting in like this. I realize quite well what you must be thinking of me. But in view of what's happened, I feel I was fully justified in doing my duty.
What do you mean? In view of what's happened?
I've just left Dr. Lippard. He'd come straight from the inquest. The man from the Home Office gave his evidence. They found arsenic in the bottle.
But that's a poison.
It's hardly got any taste. That's why so many murderers use it.
I think you'd better go.
Why does everyone turn on me? I was only trying to help. I thought I ought to warn this poor child of the danger she was running.
Please go.
Dr. Lippard asked me to give you this, Miss Spence. It's your sleeping pills. Well, don't say I didn't warn you.
What will they do now, Janet? Well, dear, the coroner's jury will have to decide how the poison came to be where it was. And then, if somebody's suspected, there'll have to be a trial.
Oh, Janet, do you think... could they do something to him?
To Henry? Oh, but Henry hasn't done anything.
No, but suppose he had.
Doris, you mustn't say those things.
But just suppose, they could do something, couldn't they?
Well, you know what happens to people who kill someone.
Oh, God. Oh, it's awful.
Oh, darling, don't cry.
Look.
It'll be all right. Take this, dear.
I don't want anything.
It's what Dr. Libbard's given me for sleeping. One tablet, just enough to calm your nerves a little, that's all.
All right. Thank you, Janet. Oh, you've been an angel.
You'll feel quieter in a moment, dear.
Janet, isn't there anything he could do?
Well, he's doing it. He's answering their questions. He's explaining why it couldn't be him.
But if he can't explain, couldn't he go away somewhere and hide?
I suppose he could. If he went far enough. Well, I must get back to my father. He gets so impatient if I'm late for his game of chess. Yes. Goodbye, darling. Bye. Best, Fred. You'll see. Tomorrow it'll all be explained. And then you'll live happily ever after.
Oh. Oh, dear. Oh, where could we go, I wonder? No. What's the number? Hello. I want Riverway 23. Yes. Good afternoon. I want to ask about booking seats on a plane. Yes, I'll hold on. Hello? I want to ask about tickets. Yes. If I wanted to book two seats on a plane, could I do it at the last moment? Where to? Italy. Yes, Rome. Yes, that's right. And you think there might be a chance of getting seats even if I made my mind up by tonight? Oh, God. What time does it leave? Oh, Henry. Yes, thank you. Thank you. I'm very much obliged. Oh, darling. Darling, are you feeling all right?
Yes.
I've just heard what's happened. It's too terrible, isn't it?
Then let's talk about it, not now. It's all a confusion. It's like a dust storm. No, it's worse than that. It's like being in the middle of a swarm of insects. I just can't think about it anymore. Oh, kiss me, darling.
Oh, Henry, no. Oh, Henry. Why did you do it? Why did you do it?
Why did I do it? You all seem to take it for granted that I murdered my wife. First as a coroner, did I put anything into Emily's medicine? Then old Johnson cuts me dead in the street outside the court. And now you.
Oh,
you! I suppose you imagined I was so insanely in love that I'd do anything to get you.
Oh,
anything. It's about time women realized that men don't go insane about them. All one asks for is a little amusement and a chance to forget oneself.
Oh, no, please, Henry, don't. I
don't know why the devil I ever married you. Why any man in his right mind ever married any woman, for that matter. I've had enough.
Oh, no, Henry. Henry, please, don't go. Henry! Oh, he's gone. He's gone. Oh, God, he's left me. I can't go on. I can't. Janet's sleeping pills.
Well, that's that, young woman. Now, day in bed, and then you can do what you like.
Yes.
And remember, no more of this nonsense. Swallowing half a bottle of sleeping tablet.
I'm sorry, Dr. Libbard. I won't do it again.
Good girl.
No, I'm not good. I've done dreadful things. That's why all this is happening. You heard what they said at the inquest. Do you think is it possible?
No, I feel sure it wasn't Henry. Why, if that's what you mean.
Oh, I'm so thankful. Tell me, how can I help him, Dr. Lippard?
Well, first of all, you've got to believe in him, in spite of everything. And then, whatever happens, you've got to be strong and calm. No tears, no harrowing scenes. And finally, remember you're going to have a baby. That's probably the best thing that's ever happened to Henry. So for goodness sake, if it don't, let's make a mess of it.
Yeah.
Ah, here he is. Remember.
Yes, I will.
I'm so thankful that you got here in time, Levan.
Oh, not at all. And if it's any comfort to you, I don't draw the obvious conclusions from the medical evidence. Keep him safe. Good night, Henry.
Thank you, Levan. Good night.
I'm sorry, darling.
I'm the one who's sorry. I was just trying to spite you, trying to get my own back.
I began it, I'm afraid.
But I ought to have known better.
At 22.
This is something where it doesn't make any difference how old you are. It's just a question of, of being a girl. Oh, I hate that word. It's all wrong. Why can't women just call themselves women? Why do they have to pretend they're like those faces in the movies?
Hmm?
You know, always looking at men out of the corner of their eyes. I do it myself, of course. Why? I don't know. But I love you just as much in that way. Only now there's something else. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, yes, I know what you mean.
Oh, to think I tried to kill myself. Everything is so beautiful, so mysterious. Darling, let's call him Patrick.
Call whom?
I mean, if it's a boy.
Oh, I see. Well, I'm not an Irishman, but I don't have any objection to Patrick. And if it's a girl?
Well, what about Belinda?
Oh, no. There I draw the line.
Oh, well. All right, then, we'll call her something else. Oh, it's going to be so wonderful. They'll go to school, and they'll grow up, and they'll marry, and then they'll be grandchildren.
And meanwhile, there'll have been two or three more world wars and half a dozen slumps and revolutions. But fortunately, private life will still go on.
Oh, Henry, we've forgotten. We're just shutting our eyes and pretending. Listen, just before you came back from the court, I rang up the airport. They say that with luck, you can get seats at the last moment. I'm well enough. I could get up now if I had to.
Who put this idiotic idea into your head?
Well, don't you think it's a good plan?
Oh, it's excellent if you want me to get tried for murder. Can't you see? It would be simply asking them to arrest me.
Well, I hadn't thought of that.
Of course not, because you still believe I did it.
Oh, but I don't.
Then why do you suggest that I should run away?
Well, I thought it would be safer, in case you couldn't make them believe. I've been a fool and I've made you angry. It's only because I love you so much, because I was so terribly anxious.
I said something very stupid this afternoon. I said I didn't know why I married you. Well, perhaps I didn't know then, but I do now.
Why?
Because I love my love with an L, because she is so logical. So lamentable at the same time, and so lachrymose, not to mention so light, so lithe, so lovely, and so ludicrous.
Oh, darling.
Oh. Come in.
It's Miss Spencer. She says she doesn't want to disturb you, but she forgot something when she was here this afternoon.
Is it all right, darling?
Yes.
Ask her to come in, Clara.
Very good, sir.
What did she forget?
Her sleeping pills.
Oh. Well, in a certain sense, I'm glad she left them. Aren't you? Hello, Janet.
Darling, I've just heard from Clara. Oh, it's too awful.
I'm quite all right, Janet, really.
Is that true, Henry?
Livard got here almost immediately. There's no harm done.
Oh, thank God. I feel so guilty. If I'd been less absent-minded...
Of course, it was a pretty dangerous thing to do, but it's turned out to be entirely successful, hasn't it, darling?
Yes.
Well, I'd better take what's left of my property and go. Oh. Two's company, three's none. Goodbye, Doris. I know you'll be glad to get rid of me.
No, I won't, Janet.
Your little fibber. I think I ought to tell you, Henry, I met the vicar just now, and then Colonel Brabazon joined us. They said the most terrible things about you.
Well, I suppose it was only to be expected.
Yeah, I told them they had no right even to think that way, much less to talk. After all, it could have been an accident. Could have been suicide.
Well, it certainly wasn't what they think. Oh, poor Emily. She was always saying she was tired of life. You know, I keep wondering if she hadn't heard something about...
Yes. It's quite possible.
Perhaps that was what drove her to it. Yeah, that's what one can do to people.
Yes. What one can do to people. Well. Good night, Henry.
Good night, Janet. Good night.
Come in, Doctor, come in.
I thought I'd just drop in, see how things were going.
Oh, Father seems quite well. He's just gone out for his walk.
And you? Not much of a credit to your physician, I'm afraid.
If I don't sleep tonight, I shall go mad.
Well, you've still got some of that stuff I gave you, haven't you?
It doesn't seem to work anymore. I get the most awful dreams and wake up again. Couldn't you give me something that would simply make me sleep? I can't stand it any longer.
Any fool can stop the symptoms of insomnia. Well, the difficulty is to find the cause. To find it and remove it.
Well, it's going to be removed. Next Friday.
Next Friday? Oh, I see. Do you really hate him as much as that?
Well, after all, it was proved, wasn't it? They proved that he killed Emily. How do you expect me not to hate him?
But you used to be such good friends.
Never. I always felt there was something wrong somewhere.
But Emily thought that if she died, you and he ought to get married.
Married? Oh, well, that's monstrous. How can you say such a thing?
Well, I'm only repeating what she said. More than once, as I remember.
Talking about me as though I were one of those women of his. So I were the kind of slut that will tumble into bed with any man that comes along. Oh, it's disgusting.
Oh, I don't know what's so obscene about marriage.
I won't have it!
Janet, excuse me. Let me feel your pulse, will you? Getting excited, that doesn't help you to sleep, does it?
I'm sorry, Dr. Lebard.
Don't apologize to me. You apologize to yourself. After all, you're the one who's suffering from insomnia. I'll tell you of another who isn't sleeping properly. And that's the one he actually did marry.
Do you ever think of the child?
Well? Hutton's child?
Yes. It's no joke to be the child of a criminal.
Well, it's no joke to be anyone's child. It's no joke to be born. I simply cannot believe that Hutton was responsible.
Then who was?
What about Emily herself?
Emily? No. Emily wouldn't have committed suicide. She wasn't that sort of person.
Yes, I must say I was a little surprised when you said that at the trial. And she often talked to me about being tired of life, wanting to put an end to it all.
You're accusing me of telling lies just because I hated that vision. Oh, God, I wish it were all over.
All over? No, Hutton is going to be hanged, but don't imagine you're going to be free of him.
What?
In one way or another, this thing is going on. All you can do is to decide whether it will go on in the worst possible way or in some other way.
What other way?
Ask yourself. All I know is that the way that's being followed at the moment is the worst way. You can't sleep, and Hutton is going to be hanged for something that he never did.
It's nonsense to say it was suicide. Nurse Braddock never heard her say anything. I never heard her say anything. How could it have been?
You know it wasn't Emily, and I know that it wasn't Hutton.
granted, it must have come through some other agency.
I don't know what you're driving at.
Janet, I am driving at some way to make you sleep. Of course. You know the basic reason why poor Emily was so dreadfully unhappy.
What was that?
It was because she wouldn't accept the facts as she found them. She was an invalid, she lost her looks, but she still wanted people to treat her as though she were young and pretty. Hence all the misery.
Well, we've had a very interesting talk, Dr. Libard. Now what about those sleeping tablets? Were you going to give me something a little stronger than you did last time?
I would like to try something else. Do you remember that young psychiatrist you met at my house last year? Dr. Farge?
Yes.
I've known him ever since he was a boy. He can make you sleep, if you want him to.
What do you mean? He'll hypnotize me. He'll send me to sleep. And then make me say all sorts of things I don't want to say. And I shan't know I've said them. No. No, I won't. I know what you're up to, you and your hypnotist. You try to drive me out of my mind so that you can have an excuse to lock me up.
Listen, Janet, be reasonable.
I'll kill you.
All right. I will write you out a prescription.
Are you all right?
Listen, for God's sake. I tell you, I'm innocent. I didn't do it. I swear I didn't. Let me talk to the governor. Just for 5 minutes. I can explain everything. Please. Please. He'll understand if only you let me talk to him. It's all a mistake.
That'll do.
No, don't go. I beg you, it's not right. It isn't justice. You can't let an innocent man be killed. Stop, for God's sake. Come back. Come back. Oh, my God.
I hope you don't mind my coming straight in, Janet. The maid said it would be all right. Not a bit. I'm delighted.
You went to see him today, didn't you?
Oh, Dr. Libardi. So terrible. His hands were all bleeding.
Bleeding?
From beating on the door. He wants them to let him talk to the governor of the prison, as if that would do any good. How can they do it, Dr. Libard? How can they kill a man who isn't guilty? You don't believe he's guilty, do you?
Oh, you know I don't.
Janet. Janet, I know you think he's guilty.
They proved it, didn't they?
Yes, they proved it, and yet I swear he didn't do it. I know he didn't.
How do you expect me to go against the evidence?
That's just what I came to talk to you about, Janet. You used to be his friend. You could still help him.
Me?
Yes, you could just go and tell them it was a mistake.
A mistake? What was a mistake?
About her never saying that she wanted to kill herself. If you told them, you hadn't really meant it.
I did mean it. I never heard her talk that way. Never.
But if other people heard her, that means it's true. So it wouldn't be a lie. You could go and tell them that after all, she did talk about it sometimes. No. They'd believe you, Janet. They'd do something. They might even put it off even now. Oh, Janet. Janet, no. Janet, please.
No, don't kiss me. Pawing and slobbering like dogs, like monkeys, and then calling it love. Love! Now he sends you to come and whine for mercy.
Janet.
Oh, that's it. Stand up for her. You'd like to do a little pawing and slobbering yourself, wouldn't you? So, meanwhile, I'm to go and say I told a lie, so that you can go on with your filthy lovemaking.
Oh, Janet, how can you?
You couldn't wait. Never even gave yourself a chance to find out what real love was like. Pawing and slobbering, that's all you cared about. So that you could mother the child of a criminal. The child of a man who's been hanged.
Oh, no.
Because that's what he's going to be. Hanged. Hanged by the neck until he's dead. And now go, go, get out.
Yes, sir. Please, sir. Only 5 minutes, I'm afraid.
I understand. I'm very tired.
Hutton? It's me.
Oh, it's you, Libard. Help me. Help me, for God's sake.
I can only help you against yourself.
What do you mean?
I can prevent you from torturing yourself, that's all.
But Libard, it's only 2 days now. It's less than 2 days. It's only a little more than 40 hours. 40 hours!
Well, that's time enough to be reconciled. Time enough to come to terms with the facts.
That clock!
Yes, hands move forward. But is that any reason for turning the last 2 days of your life into a hell of fear, bitterness and resentment?
You've seen a lot of people die, haven't you?
A great many.
Is it very bad?
Only for the people who won't accept what's happening to them. As it is a question of accepting what can't be avoided or escaped. Not only accepting it, but actually willing it. This is the inevitable. This is my destiny. And I will that it shall be exactly as it is. And when you say that, the inevitable becomes the tolerable. And even, in a certain sense, the reasonable.
The reasonable, Libard? I didn't do it. Do you believe me?
I believe you.
And you still think that what's happened is reasonable?
No, not by our everyday standards, but when the thing can be accepted and willed, well, then there are other standards.
Well, do you accept it and will it?
No, of course not. But a wrong that's inflicted on me, an evil that I suffer, are those I can accept. And if I accept them, if I go further and actually will them, then the wrong and the evil change their nature.
Of course, in a way, all this isn't entirely unjust. I didn't kill Emily, but I certainly tortured her. Because I wasn't prepared to forgo my amusements. It's terrible what monstrous things one's ready to do just to amuse oneself. It all seems so trivial and excusable at the time, but now I know better. And it's too late.
Well, it's never too late to recognize the truth.
Do you think we all get what we deserve?
Well, what else do we get? God is not mocked. As a man sows, so shall he reap.
Yet I don't believe I'm any worse than plenty of other men I know. And what are they doing at this moment? Shooting pheasants or telephoning their stockbrokers or dozing in an armchair in their club?
Shooting pheasants and telephoning one's stockbroker aren't necessarily the rewards of virtue. On the contrary, they may be punishments. After all, a man who spends his time on that sort of thing isn't spending it on anything else. Which makes him some sort of spiritual abortion. But to grow to a fully developed human being is always much more rewarding. However painful the process of growth can be.
And yet if you do accept responsibilities, there's an extraordinary satisfaction. I was just discovering that with Doris. Of course, you know how it began. In wantonness. As a kind of joke, thinking only of what I could get out of her, which was simply a kind of intoxication. It only changed after she tried to kill herself. Suddenly I saw her as a real person. A real person whom I had treated as a thing, and very nearly destroyed. All through the trial, I kept thinking of the time when one could go forward in that new relationship. But now...
But if you accept the facts, if you will them...
Yes. The pain doesn't seem to be quite so bad. Perhaps I should think of her for a change.
She's coming again tomorrow.
One human being saying goodbye to another human being. It has a value. It makes some kind of sense.
Time's up, sir.
Oh, very well. Goodbye, Hutton. Goodbye, Hutton.
Your move, General. I said your move, General. Oh, well. It's a quarter to two, Miss Spence. Don't you think you ought to toddle off to bed?
I've told you, I'm not going to bed. Not till after 8 o'clock in the morning. When's Dr. Libbard coming?
All he said was that it'd be very late. He had an urgent case to attend to some miles away.
I don't know why you ever sent for him. I don't need him.
Well, your father wanted it. He's worried about you, my dear. Oh, come on now, Miss Spence. Let me help you to bed. And then I'll bring you a nice glass of hot milk. Come along now, dear. There's a good girl.
Don't touch me!
What's that? What is it, nurse?
It's all right, Jen. It's all right. It's Dr. Libbard. I'll go and let him in.
Janet.
What is it, Father?
I want you to promise me something.
Oh? It depends what it is.
No, promise first.
Well, I suppose I can trust you.
Take a rest. Take a good holiday. You haven't been away for months and months. I don't need you. I've got this damned woman here. Go away. Have a spree.
I'll have a spree.
And down the expense. None of your Swiss pension. Good hotels, decent restaurants. I'll give you the money. Free as a bird. Start tomorrow if you want to.
Tomorrow?
And pick up a husband while you're about it.
If you don't mind, I'll go on reading my book.
Come along in, Doctor.
Good evening, Janet.
Good evening.
I oughtn't you to be in bed by this time, General. Didn't want to leave the girl alone. She's ill. Ought to have a complete change.
You're right. See what I can do. Nurse, I think you'd better take the General up to his room.
Very well, Doctor.
Don't let it get you down, my girl. And afterwards, remember, a good spree. Good night, Doctor.
Good night. Oh, nurse. You understand.
Yes, Dr. Libbard. Now then, come along, General. We'll soon get you to bed.
What does she understand?
Oh, I thought perhaps you might like something later on to help you sleep. I told Nurse Braddock what to do.
Doctor's orders.
Just a friendly suggestion.
Why not? One should only stay up for things of importance.
Good. Now for it. Nearly two. Move the hands on the bars. Two minutes to three. Now my watch, in case I forget. Yes. Well, we'll see. We'll see.
Mythical bird.
What's your trouble?
Mythical bird. Seven letters. Begins with P.
Begins with P? What about Phoenix? P-H-O-E-N-I-X.
Phoenix. That's it.
Incidentally, it rose from the dead, if that's of any interest to you. Look, I've come across something in this book. Something extraordinary. Do you mind if I read it out to you?
No. Go ahead.
The difference between a good man and a bad man does not lie in this, that the one wills that which is good and the other does not, but solely in this, that the one concurs with a living, inspiring spirit of God within him, and the other resists it, and can be chargeable with evil only because he resists it.
Oh, it's a bit too deep for me.
Deep, yes, but clear. Crystal clear. Don't you see what a lot of things it explains?
Oh, yes. But how are your hands?
Still a bit sore. But there won't be any more hammering on doors. Not now. And by the way, I'd like to thank you for being as gentle with me as you were.
Oh, I'm sorry if I ever had to be rough or anything. It was all in the course of duty, you understand.
Well, it was nothing to what I've done in the course of not doing my duty. That's why I'm here, I suppose. For resisting the Spirit of God within me. Life has to be lived forwards, but it can only be understood backwards. I suppose that's why we always make the important discoveries too late.
Thank you.
Paper cards, Bill?
Yeah. I don't mind.
Doris. Doris, my
friend. Oh, Henry.
Oh, darling, Doris.
I'm sorry. Oh, your poor hands.
Yes, I treated them pretty badly, didn't I? Well, sit down, darling. It must be lovely in the country. Have the leaves begun to turn yet?
Yes. Everything's brown and red and golden.
I remember when I was a little boy, in the beech woods at Arundel, walking in the dry leaves. I used to pretend to myself that it was money. Knee-deep in gold, like Aladdin. There's a theory nowadays that you oughtn't to bring up children on fairy stories. Don't let them talk you into any of that nonsense. Mm-hmm. Promise?
Yes, I promise.
If it's Belinda, she'll probably prefer Hans Andersen to anything else. Personally, I've always found him a bit too sad and sentimental. If Patrick's like me, he'll like the Arabian Nights. That and the Rose and the Ring. How I love the Rose and the Ring. My father used to read it aloud to me about 6 times a year. I'm afraid that'll be your job.
Oh, I wish I were dead. I wish I'd never been born.
What's the good of wishing? We have been born. And if one comes here, one has got to be prepared to go away again. Mm. Darling, you mustn't grieve. You mustn't. I tell you, everything's all right. Even my being here. Even our having to say goodbye to one another.
Oh,
yes,
no.
Ultimately, even that's all right. I know it is. And you can know it, too.
I can't.
I thought I couldn't until 2 days ago. Did Libbert tell you that he'd been to see me?
Yes.
Well, he helped me. He helped me a great deal. All the same, after he'd gone, well, it was bad again. It was like having a terrible physical pain. And it's so excruciating that you can't think of anything else. It's the only reality. And then, all at once, the pain stops. And for the first time since it started, you see that there's a sun in the sky. You realize that those shadows out there are real people. You discover that your own wretched body isn't the whole world. There's all the rest of the universe. Do you love me, Doris?
My darling.
And you believe that I love you?
I know you do. I know you do.
It looks like rain.
I like rain. I like it when it rains really hard. When there's thunder and lightning. Oh, God. And that girl. That girl. Oh, it's too horrible. Like animals. I hate him. I hate him.
You know what the time is?
It's 2 minutes to eight. Only 2 more minutes.
2 minutes. And then you'll be safe.
They must have got everything ready on the scaffold. The rope, the straps. And there's the governor of the prison and the chaplain. They're walking along the corridor. It isn't far, just a few steps. They're at the door. Somebody puts a key in the lock and turns it. The door opens. There he is. Just because she was 22. Because of her mouth. Because of her skin. God!
God! God! Jerry, lie back in your chair. It's all right. You can go to sleep now. You feel safe now, don't you?
Safe?
Yes. Yes.
I'm here, Doctor. I've got the injection ready.
Good. Roll up your sleeve, will you?
Yes, Doctor.
Syringe, please. Hold your arm quite still, Jenny. This won't hurt. There. Now, lie back and relax. Do you feel all right?
Yes. Thank you.
Now tell me, Jenny, how did you get her to take the poison?
I brought it in her coffee.
You thought he'd ask you to marry him?
Yes. No.
You thought he loved you as much as you loved him?
It was too awful. Too humiliating.
But she's off. Nurse, get that number for me.
Yes, right, Doctor. May I have that call for Dr. Libard, please? The Whitehall one. Yes, yes, I'll hold on.
Oh, by the way, what is the right time?
The exact time.
Yes, I must put my watch back.
7:05, Doctor. Yes, thank you. You're through now, Doctor.
Thank you. Hello? I want to speak to the Home Secretary, please. Yes, it's Dr. James Libard speaking. He's expecting me to call him before 7:30. Yes, that's right. Connected with the Hutton case. Yes, it's extremely urgent. Thank you. Yes, yes, I'll wait.
In The Gioconda Smile by Aldous Huxley, Henry Hutton was played by Peter Bowles, Janet Spence by Judy Lowe, Dr. Libard by Philip Latham, Nurse Braddock by Eva Stewart, Doris Mead by Emily Richard, General Spence by Nat Brenner, Clara by Marion Ellor, and The Prison Warder by John Sampson. The play was adapted for radio by Cynthia Pugh and directed in Bristol by Alec Reed.